Hey there, everybody. This is Elizabeth Gordon, and welcome to the Chic Perspective Show. Thanks so much for tuning in to our conversation about women entrepreneurs that are succeeding in style, their own personal style. We have a great show for you today, and in a minute, I am going to introduce our first guest. First, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Pink Payments, merchant services for women, by women, and supporting women. And now, our first guest, Miss Amber O'Neill, who is the owner of Cafe Physique Fitness and Nutrition. Amber is a certified personal trainer, nutrition expert, and the owner of Cafe Physique, an Atlanta-based fitness and nutrition business. Amber, welcome to the Chic Perspective Show.
Thank you so much.
All right, so tell me exactly what it is you do. Very, you know, all these credentials, and what does that actually mean?
Okay, what it boils down to, we offer four services, and it's personal training, yoga, Pilates, and nutrition counseling. And what makes us unique is that all four of those services are offered 100% mobily. So it's all mobile services. We come to your house, to your job, meet you at a park, at a coffee shop, wherever you want to meet.
So I love this concept because I really am not a big fan of the idea of going to the gym. So the idea of mobile right. and being able to do it wherever, that's really neat. So how did you come up with the idea to, you know, have your service model this way?
It was actually... came out of the whole traffic issue in Atlanta because I'd been personal trainer in other cities where I'd lived and it was no big deal. Just go to the gym and people would meet there. When I moved to Atlanta, I realized that people were telling me, once I get home from work, I am not trying to brave the traffic again. And I was like, oh gosh, what can I do to overcome that excuse? And I said, well, what if I come to your house? And they're like, I'm like, right, no excuses. You don't have anything else to say. So that kind of, it just kind of took off from there through word of mouth. And then we started actually advertising and found out that people love it. It helps with daycare issues. You don't have to get a babysitter. Don't have to go back out in the traffic. Can have dinner simmering on the stove while we're doing our yoga poses. So it works.
That's terrific. Well, what a great example of looking at a challenge and really turning it into a great opportunity to differentiate in the marketplace. So what made you want to start a business in the first place?
Basically, it was my hobby. So I went to school, have an MBA. I was working in corporate America doing marketing and branding and advertising. And I loved that type of work, but I didn't like what I was marketing or advertising, you know, these huge companies and corporations. And so I had, I was a personal trainer on the side and aerobics instructor. And so basically my days were I would go to the gym around 5:30 in the morning, teach a class or train a client. And I would shower and go to my real job. And when I left my real job, I'd go back to the gym and work some more. And I found that the best parts of my day were early in the morning and late at night. And I said, what can I do to try to turn my hobby into a career? And that's kind of how Cafe Physique was born.
That's fantastic. So you started still having your full-time job. And that was probably a good way to kind of dip your toe in the water by not taking the full risk right up front, going full-time with it. Tell me how you decided to do that.
Absolutely. It's what I call side launching. And I've read about, since then, I've read a lot about that. I didn't know what it was when I did it, but it was basically a financial decision for me. And I needed to create something that created enough revenue income that I could pay my bills before leaving my job. And the other thing, I think it was a confidence builder. So I just wasn't confident enough in my abilities to just say one day, I quit my job, I'm going to do this full time. And it wasn't even so much just the abilities, but also feeling confident enough to tell someone that after going to graduate school, I was going to give up this six-figure income to essentially teach aerobics. And so it took a little while to get there. And that's
right.
why I decided to side launch.
And to position it as, hey, this was the smartest move that I could have made in my career.
Absolutely.
At this time. So since you launched the business, I mean, it's really started to take off. What's one of the challenges that you've seen in the business model?
I think one of my biggest challenges is that I work with the success of my business is so dependent on my crew. And so I work with over 40 independent contractors who okay. are the personal trainers, the yoga and Pilates instructors, and the dietitians. And so a lot of times I find myself at their mercy. And that's the beauty of the business. It's also the biggest challenge.
So what were what made you able to really expand and grow the business? What do you think really helped with the overall growth of the company?
I think a few things. One, I think customer service. So I personally interact with every single client. So there's not anyone who's ever signed up with for our services that hasn't interacted with me at some point. So that would be the first thing. And I think the second thing is being able to match people by personality. It's a personal touch. So they're not just logging onto a computer and saying, oh, I want a personal trainer and let's see who's up next on the list. That's not how it works. I really find out what type of personality they want. Military style, you know, get down and give me 20. Or are they looking for someone very sweet, someone that's very comforting? And so I put a lot of effort into finding a really good match. And then three, I would just say the people. They have helped spread the word through word of mouth. Clients, we reward handsomely for word of mouth referrals. And so it kind of incents people to spread the word.
That's fantastic. Well, I was telling you how I was hearing about you last week at another event I was at. So you've certainly done a good job of getting the word out and marketing the business. Did your previous career in marketing help with knowing what to do and how to sell this model?
Absolutely. I can't imagine how I would have done it without that experience. You know, when I first told my father, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to be a personal trainer. And he looked at me like I was completely crazy. And first thing he said was, I want my money back, you know, for that tuition. And I said, Dad, I really think, though, that it was the best training ground for what I'm doing now. So I'm using all of that marketing, that advertising, and I'm using it to leverage my own business in an industry that typically is not as business savvy.
So you recently launched also AmberO'Neill.com, which is a personal branding website. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Okay. As part of Cafe Physique, I was constantly getting requests for speaking engagements, for writing, freelance writing, being guests on different shows. And I started realizing that they weren't necessarily just asking for Cafe Physique. They were asking for me because I'd say, well, I'm busy this day, but I can send so-and-so. They're like, oh, no, that's not what we're looking for.
Right.
And so I said, there's something there. And so I launched AmberO'Neill.com as my personal branding site related to the services I offer. So I run Cafe Physique, but I no longer offer services through that company. I just manage it. And then I offer my personal services through AmberO'Neill.com.
That's interesting. What made you decide to make that decision to create another brand and another business?
I think part of it is that I got the entrepreneurial bug. So I found that adrenaline.
One bite is not enough.
It isn't.
It keeps going.
I just was dreaming up ideas all the time. And I think I feel very strongly about finding your niche and what you do well and staying within that. And Cafe Physique, I found the niche. We offer four services, those four that I told you about. And I don't expand outside of that. And, you know, people say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And so AmberO'Neill.com has allowed me to take some of my other more creative endeavors, things that are a little more questionable, not sure if they're going to work yet. I'm really willing to incubate through AmberO'Neill.com with a lot less risk to my brand that I've already created, Cafe Physique.
Right, because you have equity now already in the Cafe Physique brand. So that's interesting that as it's grown, you've created another brand that can be more entrepreneurial, more experimental, as your other business is now more in the established
Absolutely.
Phase. So what's next for you?
Basically, I am going to really focus in the next year to 18 months on growing some of the services through AmberO'Neill.com, working more on my speaking, the writing, and my personal weight loss coaching services, and become more of a figurehead in the community for CafePhysique.com. So I'm really focused on trying to pull myself from working in my business to working on my business.
Very smart and very chic. You must have read my book. As you look at moving to, you know, this next level of growth, what, looking back, would you say were like the challenges or the mistakes that you made as an entrepreneur?
I think one of the biggest mistakes that I made was expecting too much revenue and underestimating my expenses. I had a ridiculous MBA-worthy expense spreadsheet that I had created. But some of the things that I left out were just the simple things. You know, I didn't put in there that I would need more paper for the copy machine. I guess I thought that that stack of paper I had was going to last forever.
Miraculously reproduce.
Absolutely. I thought, I'm going to do these mailers, but I didn't put the postage for the mailers, which ends up being the largest cost. So really scrubbing through the expenses, and then as successful as I knew it would be, I still needed to be a little more hesitant on the revenue projections, and especially given what happened with the economy. So I was able to, I've always been frugal. So even with my mistakes, I was able to make it work.
Right.
But a less frugal mind would have been the destruction of my business.
Sure. Well, I mean, you don't know exactly what it's going to cost. And I think it's very common to underestimate in the beginning exactly what it's going to take to get things up and running, and then to keep them running.
Absolutely.
Along the way, and just how long that's going to take as well. So the time component of the cash flow is also a challenge. So there were probably moments when you were like, did I make the right decision?
Oh, sure. I mean, there were times when I called headhunters like, hey, are there any marketing positions, any corporations that you know, I was testing the waters because I was questioning myself. But it always worked out that as soon as I got off the phone with those calls, I had this kind of sick feeling in my stomach, because I knew that wasn't really what I wanted to do. It wasn't part of living my truth.
Right. Well, I really admire your courage for sticking with it, because that is what it takes to continue to pursue this dream of being able to have a successful business built on your passion. Tell me how rewarding that is.
Oh, I can't even describe it to you. I mean, I can't even talk about my business without smiling. And so that's part of, you know, what it's done for me. It's just kind of released me, and it doesn't even feel like work. So actually, I've heard people say this before, and I always rolled my eyes like, yeah, right. But it's so true. I spend so much more time working now than I used to, but it doesn't feel like work. I feel like I don't work, actually.
That's really neat. It's amazing. Well, Amber, I'm so excited that we've had the chance to get to know each other. And that you were able to come into the studio today. So we've got our next guest on the line, and I'm going to obviously keep you on with me, but we have Jackie Rosshander of Jackeen Products, who has developed a new product herself after 2 years in a business up against multinational companies. She really learned what works and has now developed this very interesting product called Eat Whatever. Jackie, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the Chic Perspective Show.
Thank you very much.
All right. So tell me about this product. How does it work? What is it, and how does it work?
Eat Whatever is a brand new sort of concept in breath freshening. If you have some garlic bread, you might chew some gum afterwards or even brush your teeth. But, you know, a few minutes later, that bad breath comes back again. Eat Whatever actually eliminates bad breath completely, because it works in your stomach and your mouth. Bad breath usually comes from your stomach, not your mouth at all. So the reason why it works so well is it has two components. One is a little vegan gel cap. Most people don't know that gel caps are usually made out of pork or beef, and you can imagine sort of what parts of the animal they're using for that.
Right, not the good stuff.
Not the good stuff. So these gel caps are actually made out of seaweed.
Okay.
They're all vegan and gluten-free, and they contain these organic oils that, once they dissolve in your stomach, they actually give you fresh breath from within. You
can
feel it.
So it's a capsule made of seaweed, and it's filled with oils.
Yes.
Natural oils.
Organic, parsley, peppermint oil. So it's very good for digestion. It calms your stomach, but it also gives you fresh breath for hours on end.
So how does it work?
Well, these oils actually dissolve in your stomach. So they basically, the oils, once they're in your stomach, they coat it. So you're actually, instead of smelling like the food that you just ate, you smell like this parsley and peppermint oil.
Well, that sounds wonderful. Now, how on earth did you come up with this idea? How did this turn into a business?
Well, it's really something that I've wanted to find for myself. My husband would cook with a lot of garlic and onion, and mm-hmm. I would look everywhere for something that would get rid of that smell. I just hated it. And I couldn't find anything, and I knew it was in my stomach. You know, I'd have peppermint sometimes in the, you know, like peppermint tea, and I realized that helped a little bit. But I was like, there's got to be something on the market that actually works in your stomach. and deals with this, like that breath that comes from your stomach, not your mouth. And when I couldn't find anything that I liked, you know, there were a few products out there, but a lot of them were made out of, like I said, pork and beef, derivatives, and they weren't very natural, and I found you had to take lots of them. The packaging was ugly, and I thought, why don't I make something like this and make it natural and fun to use?
So now, had you ever done this before? Had you ever started a business?
No, not at all. I have a law degree and a drama degree. I was working for sort of in-house counsel for an event and interior designer, and I thought, you know what, this product isn't out there. I should just make it. Why not?
Okay.
So I did.
So how did you turn it into a product once you had the idea?
I went to a couple of trade shows. I found this this vegan gel cap manufacturer. I said to them, could you do, you know, some sort of trial run for me? Could you do the R&D? I know it needs parsley, peppermint. I have no idea what else it needs. So they put together the ingredients for me and sent me the trial, you know, the small trial. And I tried it on everyone who would look in my direction and who was willing to try it, and everyone loved it. So I thought, okay, there's something in this. And then I found a mint manufacturer, and then I found a designer, and, you know, kind of 5 months later, I quit my job to do it full-time, and 9 months after that, I had the product in my hand.
That's so exciting.
So yeah,
then how did you how have you gone about marketing it?
In terms of marketing, I have little single packs that have two gel caps and a mint. There's also a little mint to suck on for a bit of instant freshness in your mouth. I forgot to mention that before. So I have girls who hand them out in stores and around the city. I pretty much just, you know, through networking, I try and get a lot of press, again, just through marketing, blogs, websites, magazines, that kind of thing.
Yes, it's an interesting concept. So I can see why you got some media exposure.
Yeah.
Did that help in spreading the buzz? And how were you able to get the attention of some of the media outlets that you got?
Well, I mean, press is vital. Every time I get press, my sales just jump, hits to my website jump. So the product was in Daily Candy, which was just incredible for the business. How did I get this kind of press? Pretty much just networking and begging people. I also, you know, hand it out to celebrities, and then I'll ring a magazine and tell them that I did that and hope that they will write about it. I met a girl who works for Us Weekly probably about 2 years ago and have been hounding her, and finally they put it in a couple of months ago. And also just, you know, answering blogs. Harrow is a really great resource for entrepreneurs.
Absolutely.
Harrow.com, help a reporter out. They're always asking for, you know, products that are great for travel, and I'll write to them and talk to them about how whatever is great for digestion, and when you're traveling, you sometimes get an upset stomach and you don't know what you're eating and things like that. That's a really good resource for people who are looking to get press.
That's great, and that's a great way of spinning it because I can see how it's applicable for a lot of different...
Yeah, exactly. Dating, you know, oral health, travel. It's kind of, it can cross so many different areas because everybody needs fresh breath. You know, it's not specific. It's not just children or dogs or babies or something like that.
Right. It's a product with universal appeal. Jackie, you've mentioned networking a couple of times. What role has your network and the ability to network and develop relationships and form partnerships, what has that played in your success? Do you think that that was a big factor?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I remember reading somewhere, you know, advice for entrepreneurs, and one of the first things was don't sit in front of your computer all day. Go out. And I find that the best things that happen to me are generally when I'm out, you know, sitting in a restaurant or a bar or a cafe, and the person next to you says, what is that thing that you're holding there if I'm taking some of it, or what do you do? And you tell them about it. I mean, the first thing I do is when people say, what do you do? I don't say, I'm an entrepreneur. I say immediately, I make a breath freshener.
Okay.
And straight away they'll say, what? What do you mean you make a breath freshener? And there's your leeway into telling them about the product. And even if they're just, you know, just a lovely person who lives next door, some new person has now learned about your product.
Sure, absolutely.
And I'll buy it. I'll tell somebody else about it. So you just have to spread the word. And if you don't, nobody else will.
Right. Guerrilla PR. It starts with
yes,
you.
Sir.
And you've got to tell everybody you know and everyone you come in contact with. So what was the biggest challenge for you in growing the business?
I think my biggest challenge is kind of now. I'm 2 years in, and I'm looking to I've had amazing feedback from potential stores saying, you know, we really love the product, but we need this and that, and we think you should change the packaging, and we think you should alter the formulation a little bit. So now I'm looking to raise money in order to do that. And that's kind of difficult because I'm in a situation where the product's being sold in stores already, so it's already got a little bit of traction. But obviously it's not in chain, so the sales aren't huge. So it's this, like, middle ground. So you really need somebody to believe enough in you to say, okay, I'm going to give you this money so that you can get into these chains and really get traction and have, you know, larger sales. So this has probably been the most challenging part of the business.
Yeah, that's an exciting time. And it does really change your role as the entrepreneur now. Interesting to see how, you know, what you do in the early stages is different than what you do after 2 years. Your job is sort of constantly evolving and changing. What's been the biggest surprise for you out of all this?
I guess one of the surprises, I mean, I don't know what the biggest is. One of them is just the way people hate saying no to you, so they just ignore you or avoid you. I've never really experienced that very much, but I just found it so funny and frustrating at the same time. You know, I much prefer a potential customer to say, no thanks, we don't want to sell it right now, or we can't, or whatever it is, as opposed to just not returning phone calls or avoiding emails.
That's funny.
A lot of people calling me saying, oh, I'd love to do your PR, and I say, I'd really love you too, but I can't right now, and I, you know, get back to them. That's been surprising, I guess, in the business world.
People don't like to say no to your face, and they'll do just about anything to avoid that uncomfortable feeling on your part or their part.
Exactly.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things of, speaking of being uncomfortable, I think that, you know, everybody finds as they're continuing to grow the business, they're constantly learning new things and having to change and grow themselves. What do you do, or what's worked for you as far as continuing to up your entrepreneurial education and learn more and surround yourself with more people that you can learn about, from?
I think talking to other entrepreneurs, even if they're not in your industry, you always learn different things. And you just sometimes you look at things for so long or think about things for so long that you really need an outsider to get their fresh opinion. So I just think that's a really important thing to do, just talk to people and listen to their advice and don't get offended. Let them know that you really, you know, you actually want to hear what they have to say and that you, you know, you try not to take any of it personally and actually just learn from it.
I think that's a great attitude. And this is such an interesting product and niche that you've uncovered. Jackie, I'm so excited for you. Where can people find out more about the product or where can they buy it?
They can go to eatwhatever.com, and they can even buy it online there. There's also a link there to the stores that carry the product at the moment, and it's also available on amazon.com.
All right, fantastic. Well, we're almost out of time, ladies. This has been so fun. I want to come right back here to the studio with our in-studio guest, Amber O'Neill of Cafe Physique Fitness and Nutrition. Amber, where can people find out more about your businesses?
Definitely on the website. It's cafephysique.com and on my personal branding site, which is amberoneal.com, and it's O'Neal spelled like Shaquille O'Neal, O-N-E-A-L. And that's usually, and they can find me on Twitter and Facebook under similar handles.
Fantastic. Okay, we're almost ready to wrap up here, but I want to make sure we get a chic tip from both of you. So I like to ask all of my guests on the Chic Perspective show to share a chic tip. Amber, what's your chic tip for us today?
My chic tip is to define what success means to you, be specific, and reevaluate the answer often. So when I first started the company, success meant to me recapturing my corporate salary, doing what I love. Today, success means to me being able to spend as much time with my six-month-old daughter while still profiting in my business.
That's great. Yes, because that definition does change over time as you evolve. Good one. Okay, Jackie, what kind of chic tip do you have for us?
I'm going to steal one from another entrepreneur that I really admire. Her name's Angela Jia Kim. She runs Savor the Success. And she says, give, give, get. Give advice, give help. The more you give, the more you get back in return without even asking for it.
That's great advice as well. Well, ladies, thanks so much for coming on today. It's been a pleasure getting to know you. And thank you all for tuning in and joining us for the Chic Perspective Show. If you're interested in listening to more episodes, go to businessradiox.com and click on the Chic Perspective Show. And you can also check out my website, chicentrepreneur.com, for more information about our show and our services. I want to thank once again Pink Payments, Merchant Services for Women by Women and Supporting Women, for sponsoring today's show. And thank you again for tuning in. We look forward to talking with you next week. Until then, wishing you all chic success.